to AI to AI, that is Appreciative Inquiry to Artificial Intelligence, a podcast series exploring the significance of appreciative inquiry, talent management, ethics and governance in the AI era, coaching-driven habit formation, creativity and adaptability. In today's fast-paced, technology-driven world, organizations must evolve quickly to remain competitive. While many focus on fixing problems, appreciative inquiry shifts the approach to identifying strengths and building on what already works. Combined with real-time strategic change, this enables organizations to make swift, collective decisions while engaging all levels, resulting in lasting transformation. Coaching is a powerful tool for fostering mindfulness, helping individuals become more aware of their thoughts, emotions, and actions. Through coaching, individuals learn to live in the present moment, make conscious choices, and cultivate self-awareness, ultimately leading to personal growth and transformation. One of the best examples of the power of coaching is found in the relationship between Dronacharya and Arjuna from the Mahabharata. Dronacharya, the revered guru, coached Arjuna not only in archery but also in discipline, focus and mindfulness. Dronacharya's teachings went beyond skill mastery. He helped Arjuna develop a deep awareness of his inner self, teaching him to channel his mental and emotional energies to stay present and calm under pressure. This mindfulness allowed Arjun to become the greatest archer, illustrating the impact of coach can have on unlocking someone's full potential. In modern coaching, several key elements play a vital role in enhancing mindfulness, namely powerful questions, deep listening and observation, holding the space and seeking commitment for new habits. Today, I am joined by K. Ramkumar.
The heart of appreciative inquiry says that development is possible only if you focus on strengths. Many people don't understand it. They keep talking about AI, appreciative inquiry, not artificial intelligence, right? Without understanding what is the core of appreciative inquiry. Appreciative inquiry says, accept the weaknesses people have. Now, amplify and strengthen the strengths people bring. For example, to say, can I change the character of chili from being spicy to sweet is a dumb thing to do, right? Can I get Virendra Sehwag to play like Rahul Dravid by coaching him to be defensive? You will neither have Dravid nor have Sehwag. The ulta is also true. So what was the great thing which happened in that cricket team of Saurav Ganguly? Virendra Sehwag's strengths were fully leveraged and built on. And Rahul Dravid's strength was equally fully, and together they made a team.
Ram is the founder of Kautilya Leadership Center, which focuses on developing leadership by making individuals aware of their personal leadership resources. Unlike traditional skill-based approaches, this personalized model emphasizes that leadership is an inherent resource in everyone. Ramkumar retired as executive director of ICICI Bank, having served on the boards of ICICI Prudential Life Insurance and ICICI Ventures. Prior to his 15-year tenure at ICICI, he worked at Hindustan Aeronautics, Unilever and ICI. He is passionate about leadership development and played a key role in making ICICI Group a recognized leadership factory. Ram co-founded the ICICI Manipal Academy, which has trained 12,000 young leaders, and the ICICI Academy for Skills, which now operates in 23 locations, skilling 35,000 youth annually. He's also the author of the book, leveraging human capital, a practitioner's perspective. In today's episode, I'll be gaining his insights on the role of coaching in creating awareness and mindfulness and in helping to achieve sustained transformation. Now, on to this insightful conversation with Ram. Hello, Mr. Ram Kumar. Welcome to my podcast series, AI to AI, that is Appreciative Inquiry to Artificial Intelligence. First of all, sir, I extend my heartfelt thanks for joining me on this episode. You have illustrious career. I was going through your resume. You retired as executive director and of ICICI Bank, and you're also on the board. And what actually caught my attention and got registered in my mind, your work on creating the world-class leadership pipeline. You led this whole mission, and eventually ICICI Bank became the leadership factory, so to speak. So could you please tell us about that journey, and then your passion you have continued with your own venture named Kautilya Leadership Center. So this name is also very interesting, and I'm curious to know the idea behind this name, Kautilya.
Sanjay, it is such a honor that you called me to be part of it. First of all, thank you for inviting me and be part of this podcast chat. And you can call me Ram. You and I are, old friends. I know that it's a podcast, but still, friendship still remains as what we are, right? So we don't have to really be too formal about it. To be fair, I think no one individual ever creates anything in any place. A lot of what happened in ICICI Bank or ICICI Group, we'll have to give credit to some outstanding leaders who India has. From Mr. H.T. Parekh to Mr. Natkarni to Mr. Vagul to Mr. Kamath to Lalita Gupte to Kalpana Morparia, there have been remarkable people who have been people who have set the culture for grooming leaders. It's just that I happen to be one of those persons who work with some of these extraordinary leaders in this country, right? Whether it is Mr. Vagul or whether it is Mr. Kamath or whether it is Kalpana Morparia or Lalita Gupte. So, in a way, as they say, right, I became one more contributing member to this outstanding galaxy of leaders in ICIC. Now, coming to your point, right, what made ICICI an institution which became a nursery for leaders, which the entire industry in financial services and beyond is using. I would put three things as the most important. One is all the leaders I referred to here were people who believed investment into leadership is similar to investing capital to build business. Very, very clear philosophy they had.
Great.
Yeah, most of us end up thinking of investment as investing into financial capital. But these outstanding, illustrious leaders brought the same approach which entrepreneurs and business leaders bring when they invest into business to create value. They saw the second leg of that investment or the complementary leg of the investment to the financial investment as investing into human beings, especially into leadership.
Great.
Now, second, the second characteristic I saw with all these people who guided me to do this work is that all of them brought in the same level of risk capital. They never asked the question, I want to be sure somebody would be a successful leader. They basically said, are there weak signals I can find in young people in my organization? And am I willing to really put them into challenging roles and challenging asks. And they believe that a good number of them, percentage of them, would make use of it and end up becoming successful leaders. There may be a few who may not fulfill the promise. So they were very comfortable taking this approach, meaning investing and taking risks with people well ahead of full confirmation that they will be successful leaders. Very much like Indian cricket team and Indian badminton team ended up doing to create the... So Virat Kohli was very young when we invested in Virat Kohli. Right? It is not that Sachin Tendulkar was very young. We invested into Sachin Tendulkar. There was no proof that these people are ready to play international cricket.
Right?
Say Yashasvi Jaiswal. Look at what that investment is doing to us in cricket. Right? So to me, that is the second outstanding characteristic I found in these people. The third, which is important, what they brought in was they gave exposure to these people to interacting with very senior people very early. So for example, when many of us were in our early mid-30s or early 30s, we were all invited to be part of board meetings, though we were not part of the board, at least seven of us or eight of us, and we were permitted to participate in the board meeting as if we were members from the board. Only thing we couldn't do is vote on any proposal. So imagine an illustrious board having people like Mr. Wagul, Mr. Ellen Mittal, Mr. Prem Baksa, Mr. PM Sinha, Mr. Ramachandran, right? Much before that, same thing happened with people like Nachiket Mor, Shika, Chanda Kochar and others, right? That board had Ratan Tata, Narayana Murthy, Dr. Ganguly, Dr. Y.V. Reddy. So for generations, people in their mid-30s were given exposure to board meetings. Right? So to me, right, these end up showing a culture. A large part of leadership development is not only processes and frameworks. Processes and frameworks are very important. I'm not taking
it
away. Where process and framework is there, by bringing in, then you won't get the leadership pipeline. Leadership pipeline comes on the basis of vision, strong belief, and a culture we set in an institution. I saw that from Mr. Kamat, Mr. Wagul, Kalpana Morparia, Lalita Gupte kind of people. So in that, my job became very easy. Right? When we come in there at the end of the day, when these people are leading the way, They are playing the role of being the margadarshis, right? You know, thereafter it becomes using the frameworks, using the process. They are important.
True.
I'm not taking it away. So I thought that I will put this as one of the fundamental aspects what in my mind, I experience in my life. Now coming to the second question, right? You asked about why did I name my company Kautilya?
Kautilya.
Yeah. See, Vishnugupta, Chakya, who is also called Kautilya, you should remember, was a Maha Acharya at the Takshasila Gurukul.
Right.
At the age of 28, those days, Maha Acharya is equal to full-term professors in US.
Yes.
So the Maha Acharya usually used to go to people who reach 55, 60 years.
Yes.
So all the Maharacharyas of Takshasila pick up this young 28 year, maybe 28, 30, whatever it is. Let us not, you know, quibble with exact age. A young man half their age to be their colleague. Imagine. That is leadership development.
Yeah.
That is leadership development. Same. They did what Mr. Wagul Kamath and Kalpana were telling us to do, right? It's an investment. Right, we have to build that pipeline. We have to take a risk with a young person, man or woman, doesn't matter. Right, and we have to treat him as our equal by giving him the forums. in which he will participate not as a disciple, but as an equal, right? Now, what does this Kautilya, and now we keep talking about Kautilya as Kutila Buddhi. No, Kautilya means smart.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Now, smartness made him also somebody who, when others were devious, he could also handle the deviousness of other people.
Yes, yes.
Right? Like Krishna, right? Who said that, look, a thorn has to be removed only by a thorn. So, that doesn't make Lord Krishna a devious person. So, Lord Krishna was probably the first Kutila.
Yeah.
Right? If you are a smart person, right?
Yes, yes.
Street smart, earthy, right? Can bring in strong mental strength and character to deal with people who may wish harm to you.
Right, right. Like Nand's Maha Amatya Rakshas.
Correct. Like Nand's Maha Amatya Rakshas, right? Hmm. These are all people of outstanding, whether they are legends, are real people, not real people, but we know these are real people.
Yeah.
Because history talks about them. There is proof about them. Mm. So, what does this Vishnugupta, Chanakya, Chanakputra Chanakya, Kautilya do? He goes and finds a low caste shepherd. I don't even like the word low caste. He was considered to be low caste by the rest of the society. A goat herd, a shepherd boy. And possibly of an illegitimate heritage in terms of his birth, because his father was, who was his father? Nobody knew it. So in that, even in a modern society, such a young man or a person would have been ostracized. Nobody would see talent in that person.
Right.
Neither the caste that qualifies for that person, nor the class qualifies for the person. Nor the lineage and the heritage qualifies for that person. And the person has not gone to any Gurukul. And they takes this young boy as his apprentice. And from that, India's first emperor comes.
Yes, yes.
Chandragupta Maurya.
Great. Yeah.
India's first emperor. Make no mistake about it.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So, that to me is inspiring. So I believe birth, genetics, your education, none of us, none of this is a differentiator for somebody to exercise leadership. Leadership is exercised because you bring ambition, risk appetite, serious ability to think through complexities and cut the clutter and see value drivers into the future, a very strong orientation to future.
Great.
Right? Not looking at only today. Right? And hence, to me, Vishnugupta Chanakya, Kautilya continues to be an inspiring personality. So, we named our center Kautilya, communicating to everybody that anybody, practically anybody, can excel in leadership, provided you have the character for it.
Great. I mean, this is really, really a great deal. On one side, you are very well conversant about cricket. Another side, you know, you are equally sort of, you know, conversant about history, so to speak. That's a really, really great thing, Ram.
To me, sorry to cut you, right?
No, please.
I am not a very special person. I am a bank clerk's son from Madras. I still call it Madras. I studied Tamil medium. There is nothing special about me. And if today you can invite me for this podcast, it is only because of the investment. So many gurus, Pramod Fernandez, Satish Pradhan, Sanjeev Katpalia, right, Mr. Kamath, my mother, Kalpana Morparia, Mr. Vagur, so many people, right, chiseled me. So there are no special people in the world. It is just that you have to find those gurus, or the gurus have to find you.
Yeah.
Meaning you have to be worthy to be found by a guru. You have to be that Chandragupta Maurya, who a Kautilya, when he sees you, sees. And then thereafter, it is a tapasya.
Great. So, interesting. You talked about guru like Kautilya. You talked about, you know, the high potential leader like Chandragupta Maurya. And then tapasya. The journey, so to speak. So let me tell you that, you know, I was kind of thinking in my mind, and I went back to my Tata days. I mean, way back in, I would say, 90s, so to speak, early 90s, when I was working with a small company. It was a relatively small company, and the company was actually almost teetering at the brink of extinction, I would say, Ram. But then, you know, under great leader, so to speak, and his leadership, we started, you know, things like investing in people. We started, you know, we used the techniques like appreciative inquiry and real-time strategic change and all that. So, you know, I'm tempted to ask you, Ram, that this appreciative inquiry and the guru, when you talked about guru, this coach term occurred to my mind. If you could help us understand that, what is, like, you know, similarity, though purpose-wise I can understand that both appreciative inquiry and coaching would have the same purpose. But if you could enlighten us more, that would be great.
So, very interesting point you make. I will do it from both sides. As a recipient of mentoring and coaching, and as somebody today who is doing it across the industry to many, and even in your earlier company, you had invited me to coach two people.
Yes, yeah? Yes,
Ram. I remember. So what, you know, as usual, I will be forthright.
Please.
One of the problem I find with many of our HR folks is they have never coached anybody. I'm not saying all of them.
Right.
You know, yeah, that's not the problem. Hmm. Nor they may have been recipient of being coached in a serious manner. Now, what happens is that then you have no reference point, and the only reference point you have is what is pushed at you by a variety of suitcase coaching centers, which is telling, I will give you a certification for coaching if you do it.
Yeah.
And you go after those certifications without understanding what coaching is. And then you expect coaching to be like that. Right. Mm. So I'm just presenting it not to denigrate anybody, just to call out so that many young people who may be listening to it think about it. Now, because you brought an appreciative inquiry, the heart of appreciative inquiry says that development is possible only if you focus on strengths.
Right.
Many people don't understand it.
Mm.
They keep talking about AI, appreciative inquiry, not artificial intelligence.
Yes.
Right? Without understanding what is the core of appreciative inquiry.
Right.
Appreciative inquiry says, accept the weaknesses people have. Now, amplify and strengthen the strengths people bring. For example, to say, can I change the character of chili from being spicy to sweet is a dumb thing to do.
Hmm.
Right? Can I get Virendra Sehwag to play like Rahul Dravid by coaching him to be defensive? You will neither have Dravid nor have Sehwag. The ulta is also true. So what was the great thing which happened in that cricket team of Saurav Ganguly? Mm. Virendra Sehwag's strengths were fully leveraged and built on. And Rahul Dravid's strength was equally fully, and together they made a team.
Wow. Great. Yeah.
Yeah. So on the other hand, many of the modern day coaching ends up focusing on identifying weaknesses, and the coach is going to work with the person to really help the person overcome the weaknesses.
Ah. That's very interesting.
Yeah, and many people, unfortunately, many people who bring in as coach also tell me, Ram, we want that. I said, no. I, for example, take my own case. I have quite a few weaknesses. I am not a perfect human being. Nobody is. Right? My coach, people who have coached me, helped me through appreciative inquiry. First of all, understand, am I putting to use the best use my most mature and developed abilities. Often we don't know. In an appreciative inquiry, we help you understand this is your well-developed and most mature ability. Are you looking for contexts where you could deploy it? Are you walking into those contexts and offering your resources there? Or are you selecting contexts where these abilities are annulled and are not useful and wasting your capabilities? Are you, so now, and what range and depth are you building in what you are already good at, which is breadth and depth? To me, that is appreciative inquiry. Whether you do it in a one-on-one, usually appreciative inquiry is done in a group, but you can do it on a one-on-one also like that, in a coach.
Right, right.
Now, what do you, then people can turn around and say, then what do we do with weaknesses? Yeah, now, in appreciative inquiry, we say, are you aware that something is not your strong hand? If you're not aware something is not a strong hand, that is dangerous.
Right.
If you are aware of something is not a strong hand, do you know in context where you need to learn to restrain this as something which will not create disruption and damage?
Interesting.
Restrain, right? Learn to do that, right? That's good. You don't have to convert your weaknesses into your strengths. All you need to know is what, I don't even like the word strength and weaknesses. I believe as those abilities which are mature in you and those abilities which are underdeveloped in you.
Now, that's
you
very say, interesting way. Very, very interesting way, Ram.
Underdeveloped.
Yeah. Yes.
Now you say, all abilities in leadership, I want it to be mature in me. One lifetime is not good enough. Nobody in the world can have it. Now you learn to say that these are these abilities where I will maximize. These are abilities which are underdeveloped. Can I work and make it? Some of this, which are very critical. If those underdeveloped abilities are very critical for my success, I learn to say, can I get it to a level of it being competent?
Right.
And that's why I said it's tapasya. But that is not easy. Right?
Right,
and
right.
Some other things I will let it be and say they will continue to be something which will be underdeveloped. But and I will find other people in teams to back me up there. For example, take my own case. Yeah. I am not a very strong process guy. I'm a strong conceptual person. I like design. I like working with those kind of a things. It's not that I cannot do process, but I get bored with it. So when I'm building Kautilya Leadership Center, I am not the best person to build the knowledge management system of this company.
Right.
But without a knowledge management system, this company cannot flower. Now I have to find in my team a few people whose strongest suite is process.
Right.
And coach them to acquire the same perspective and vision I have and blend it with their process capability to create the knowledge management system. So in my mind, appreciative inquiry is a process by which we unleash the nascent capabilities in the people which are unique to them.
Great. I mean, unique to them. Yeah, that's very interesting.
Then there are not unique to the world. It is unique to them.
To them.
There are other people who would have brought that same capability, but it is special to them.
Right.
For example, I am a guy who can work very well under pressure.
Right.
I don't experience fear. So Mr. Kamath, Mr. Kalpana, even at Hindustan Unilever, they picked me up to do crisis management in ICICI. It had nothing to do with the function I was doing. So every time a crisis management has to be done, no matter who it is, I was picked up to lead it. Because I am very comfortable in conceptualization, visualization, and design, ICICI got me to lead innovation for ICICI. Wow. You should turn around and ask, what does it have to do with Ram Kumar, who was running HR to do innovation, business innovation?
Right.
So now you see, that is appreciative inquiry.
That is appreciative.
They inquired into my ability and were able to be appreciative and say, this is what defines Ram Kumar.
Right.
Now, how do we best use him, this ability of Ram Kumar, for the system? Now, look at the other side. I'm a fairly impulsive person. I also, and that is what makes me somebody who's innovative, right? Spontaneous impulsivity. I am also not, let me put it very bluntly, I am fairly in the face. I'm not a very diplomatic man. What have I done? I've learned not to be rude.
Right.
I am still not the most diplomatic person in the world. I'm 63. I've learned now to curtail my impulsivity by saying, don't make decisions too soon.
Right.
Learn to sleep over one night. And that is basically I have trimmed. They still are not my strengths.
Right.
So I just want to stop here. To me, coaching is releasing the unique ability people have and making them aware. Like Jambuwal did to Hanuman.
Ah, interesting, yes.
Hey, Pavan Putra, you are sitting in one corner, not knowing the immense strength you have. You are the only person who can go to Lanka and come back. Not only that, it's not a physical prowess you have, Hanuman. You have the diplomacy to engage enemies if you find them there.
Right.
And if you found Sita Mata there, you have the sagacity and the humility to be able to present yourself to Sita Mata and create trust in her that you are actually Ramdut and not an illusion created by Raman. Do you see the bouquet of abilities you have, Hanuman? Now, you are not using it well. Come, put it to good use. Go to Lanka. So that is coaching. And that is appreciative inquiry. And this, usually in appreciative inquiry, we create an insight by not telling, like Jambuwan did. We ask the question. By questioning the person, by framing it, we make the individual get that insight and articulate herself that, this is what my strength is. I'm not putting it to the best use I can. Creating that realization is coaching.
Let us take a short break. When we come back from the break,
in my mind, I believe that is we misinterpret Abraham Maslow's self-actualization. Abraham Maslow, when he asked, when he proposed self-actualization, he was basically asking, what is the best version of yourself? That's all. If where people say the current version is the best version, then they are not coachable. You should simply say thank you very much.
You are listening to a Business Podcast Network original. Podcasting is the fastest growing content marketing opportunity, which is untapped. We can help you craft your audio strategy and help leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that the smartphone penetration provides. It is easy, it is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to your targets like never before. Write to us at bpn@bizcast.in. That is bpn@bizcast.in. Business Podcast Network. Podcasts end to end.
Welcome back. Let us dive right back into the episode.
So Ram, it was really, really, I mean, I was actually listening to you very attentively, so to speak. And it's always kind of great to listen to you, the way you relate history, cricket and various facets of life, so to speak. That is something superb. But Ram, tell me one thing, just kind of, making the person concerned aware about the strength. I And I would like to sort of, you know your view on this. Don't think that help person to become great, so to speak, unless the person inculcates a new habit, so to speak, new tapasya, okay, new routine. So if you could tell us, you know, how to sort of, you know, pursue that tapasya and how coach helps in that regard, that would be really great, Ram.
Excellent point, Sanjay, right? And a beautiful lead into it. Let me add one more point here. It's not only helping a person identify already what capabilities are nascent and becoming. It is also important for people to ask this question, what is your ambition?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In my mind, I believe that is, we misinterpret Abraham Maslow's self-actualization. Abraham Maslow, when he asked, when he proposed self-actualization, he was basically asking, what is the best version of yourself? That's all. If where people say the current version is the best version, then they are not coachable. You should simply say, thank you very much. However much money other people pay you to coach them, you are wasting your time.
Right.
Whereas people say, there is more to me.
Yeah.
Than what it is today.
Yes.
I have yet something significant to achieve in my life, as Viktor Frankl will frame it. Then you ask the question, in addition to the capabilities what you have today, are there capabilities you want to work on, make it mature?
Right.
So there, because the current capabilities may not be the only things relevant for the future.
Right.
You help them identify them.
Yeah.
And now that is where this atomic habits, habit formation comes.
Okay.
That is where you put the mentee or the coachee, whatever English you want to use, there to say, how dearly do you want it? How much passion are you bringing for that? Now, what are you prepared to do for it? Right? So, I basically believe the only route for capability building is practice. Knowing does not translate into doing. Repeated doing is what skills, what creates ability.
Wow.
But that's doing great. Without knowing is mindless. So, in a coaching, we first establish the knowing. Then people know, why am I doing, what am I doing?
Okay. Why is very important.
Yes. Now, when the why and the what will get me there is clear, now you'll have to leave the how to the individual. Unfortunately, very often, coaches end up really dictating the how.
Right.
You cannot say play like Sachin Tendulkar a straight drive. Yes, Sachin Tendulkar was 5 feet 5 inches. Now you tell this to a person like me who's 6 feet 3 inches. The length itself is very difficult.
Right.
The ball which Sachin will drive, I will not be able to drive.
Right.
Or a ball, or I can drive a ball which Sachin cannot reach.
Yeah.
Because my reach will get me. So basically, the how is not what coaching is about. A large how is you create the how as a discovery process with the coach. You help the coachee find the how. You help the coachee understand the why and the what of what the person is working. That's why I would say you can never coach a person by saying your organization wants you to be this. It never works. You always ask the question, what do you want?
Wow, great.
Why do you want? What will get you that?
Right.
And now then we say, oh, that's it. You have clarity. And how dearly do you want? And what are you prepared to do for it? Now that is where people cannot now say, my day is busy. I don't have time to work on the area. Because many times when I coach people, people say, I couldn't do what we agreed to do because I was busy. Then we will basically turn around and say at the end of the day, you don't get physical fitness if you don't work out every day.
Right. True.
Yeah.
True.
So it's a habit. Muscles don't get built because you know that muscle has to be built. Yeah. Yes. You have to work that muscle. Right. You want to build your pecs, not pectoral muscle. You have to work your pectoral muscle. And you have to find and make time to do that work. And you have to do it every day, because muscles waste faster than they build. Right. Similarly, human ability, right, degenerates and depreciates at a faster rate than the time it takes to build it. So, whatever ability you want to develop, it's a tapasya. Why? At the same appointed time every day, with the same methodology, with the same rigor, and with the same single-minded focus, you have to repeat it.
Very well said.
To repeat it for years.
Right.
Because you want, so there is a statement in Tamil. We say that you arasamarathu sutti adimadiya thottu paatha. See, you don't get a child because you go around the people tree.
Yeah.
And then touch your stomach and say, I've gone 10 rounds of the people tree. Am I pregnant?
Right.
It doesn't work. Right. Similarly, skill building is not to be limited or knowledge building. You first know.
Right.
And then do. And then do it repeatedly. So, for example, when Ashwin learned to bowl the sodaku, the carom ball, Ashwin tells us that he practiced this 2 years before he first used it in a first-class match.
Right.
Can you believe it? 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years.
Bumrah tells us that he worked with Malinga to bowl at a shoe to practice in Yorker for 2 full years.
Right.
And when Federer was being appreciated by an interviewer to say, hey, your single-handed backhand is divine, Roger. You are naturally gifted. So Federer got angry. He said, don't insult me by saying I'm naturally gifted. Every week I play that single-handed backhand shot 1,000 times to perfect it. Then only on the given day in the match, under pressure, 1 out of 2 times I can get it right. I will still play it wrong 1 time, even after this practice. That is why it is tapasya.
Yeah, great. Great. Ram, tell us that, you know, when this artificial intelligence, in particular on technology in general, is driving growth, so to speak, today. And do you see, I mean, the people are talking about AI-enabled coaching, so to speak, and people say that, you know, the AI can help customize coaching. So do you see value in AI-enabled coaching? The second question is that, or else do you see that, you know, AI can complement the coach, so to speak, in the coaching process?
So first of all, the unfortunate reality is when many of us refer to AI, very few of us have comprehended what is AI. Because I see a lot of loose talking, oh, we lose AI to do this. Right? But when you really nail down people and ask them, bataiye ye kya hai? Aapne uske bare, what have you gone ahead and invested to understand what AI is before you know what AI can do?
Right.
Let us for a minute look at what is intelligence. We have to go back to 1909 to Alfred Binet, who designed the first intelligence test, Mensa, later on. Right? So intelligence is very simple. It's the power to discriminate.
Right.
This, not this. That's how every programming, the binary part, starts working. Right. So now when we talk about intelligence, the domain is very large. There is numerical intelligence. There is language intelligence. There is art intelligence. You go on and on and on. Now, my view at this point of a time, a large part of human learning is about perspectives. Meaning making.
Right.
Yeah, that is perspectives.
That is
what are perspectives? They are meaning. You make meaning. Large part of thinking is information processing and organizing information and structuring it so that we can make a meaning.
Right.
Right? Well, if information is not ordered, structured, right, we can make perverse meaning. The manner in which we order information or structure information or arrange information helps us to make meaning.
Right.
Now, if you and I are engaging today, and let us say I am an AI engine. For me to be able to help you make meaning, what should I be doing as a coach? That's the first principle you have to ask. A, I should have had breadth of experience.
Yes.
Which helps me open out multiple perspectives for you.
Right.
I should have had wealth of experience, which helps me propose to you an alternate perspective in order to challenge your deep-rooted perspective, which may not be helpful to you or making you blind. That's all what coaching is.
Right.
Now, I don't believe AI has reached that yet. Because to do that, the extent of training you have to do to the AI engine.
Right.
Well, you remember, all AI engines are trained.
Yes. Yes.
And the mass of data.
Yeah.
Which need to be fed into this AI engine, which would replicate lakhs and lakhs of experiences life creates for human beings.
Right.
In diverse setting. And it is also not the priority of the developer set. Today, the AI engine developer's priority is in other domains.
Right.
The LLM, the large language model, has to further mature. So I am not saying AI may not be a coaching assistant to you, say 10 years from now. I don't know about, but today, I think it is far-fetched for any one of us to say that AI could become a coaching for managerial and leadership areas.
Right.
However, for technical training, if you want to be a good accountant, AI is the best mode. If you want to be a good air conditioning mechanic,
right,
AI is a very good mode. If you want to learn problem solving and troubleshooting, AI is a very good mode. Yeah. But if you want a strategy to be given to you, AI can give you. But for you to become a strategist, today I don't believe AI is there. I may be wrong, right? I have done a full course on AI and machine learning. Right. So when I talk about it, I do it having done that course. I may not be a Python programmer, but I can read a Python programming sheet without any problem.
Right.
With all that, I'm trying to say, the next time any one of us are going to say that I'm using AI for this or that, before saying it, go. First, learn what is AI. And what, for example, when I run my leadership development program, I often ask the question to people as senior as business leaders, tell me what is GPT. Most people can't even give an expansion of it. Generative pre-trained transformer. So for the guys who tell me that, I ask them, what does this generate? And how much of training is required, pre-training is required for it to generate. and what does it transform? Do you have an idea? If you have an idea of that, then two of us can talk about, I can then talk to you as somebody with respect that you know the domain you are talking. Otherwise, you're simply doing it. I know, look, again, my bluntness is coming through. This is my weakness.
No, you are original thinker. It's very delightful. I must tell you, Ram, it is always great listening to you.
No, I could have done it. I could have said it in a more sweet manner.
No.
But I'm doing it. See, this is my weakness. But that having said, I'm not denigrating anybody. All I'm trying is to help people to say, at this point of a time, where it comes to interpersonal area, where it comes to human emotions, where it comes to nuances of human sensibilities and sensing.
Right.
AI is very far. However, where it comes to the cognitive domain,
okay,
analyzing, right?
Mm-hmm.
There the meaning making of AI is pretty strong. But however, in this area, work is on. I don't know. But I'm sure that at some stage, this too would, AI would become proficient in it. But even then, I was speaking to one of India's famous business leaders only day before yesterday.
Yeah.
This gentleman was telling me, Ram, we should start looking at AI as a buddy and not as a competitor.
Right.
And ask the question, what AI cannot independently do without humans,
mm-hmm,
and what humans cannot achieve without the AI's computing power.
Right.
If only we could crack it and pair it like that in our businesses.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what kind of productivity and ingenuity we will unleash?
Great point.
I'm unable to name this gentleman.
No.
But he's one of the who's who of India, with whom I had the privilege of spending an hour yesterday.
Yeah.
Day before yesterday. Mm-hmm. So to me, that is where I would live. But at this point of a time, managerial and leadership abilities, human coaches would add greater value.
Ram, there's one more term I would say, which has been I would say that I'm not very clear, the visionary leadership versus being mindful. Okay, so vision is all about long term. Mindfulness is about being in this moment. So could you please help us understand that, what is the, benefit of visionary, leadership, so to speak, and what is the benefit of, mindful leadership, and what are these two things, so to speak? Okay. So, yeah. And do they complement each other?
I just finished this outstanding book. I did a binge reading of it, The Golden Roads by William Dalrymple, one of my favorite authors. Last part of the book talks about Buddha and how Buddhism became an export from India to the rest of the world. And for a period of time, for about 1,000 years. Now, repeatedly what comes through, and also whatever I have led in a variety of areas, both philosophers and mythological works or historical works. In my mind, mindfulness is about awareness.
Okay.
Are you aware?
Mm.
At this moment, Ram Kumar aware that he is being asked a question for which he has limited perspectives. The moment I am aware of it, I will not overreach myself beyond what my ability permits me to really go. That is mindfulness. That I am, right now I know this is a broad philosophical question Sanjay is asking. There could be far more capable people than you who could have meditated on it and could engage with it with greater clarity. But however, I am also aware I am not ignorant of it.
Okay.
So see my limits. I know I am aware at this moment of engaging with this question of what I know.
Yes.
I am aware where I should not go because I don't know that. Because if I go there, I will make a fool of myself. So in my mind, when you are, what is vision? Vision is visualizing the future.
Right.
Simple. And am I aware, given my exposure, my thinking capability, what are the limits of my visualization?
Right.
Two, am I aware that I am not confusing aspiration for vision? What I want is different to what I believe is possible.
Wow.
That is mindfulness. Often when people do say they are engaging with visioning, they supplant aspiration for visualization of a future as it could be. It's almost a confusion of your wishes as what will materialize in the future.
Right.
Now that is not mindfulness. So in a mindfulness, you will ask the question, what is the basis of my visualization? In an unmindfulness, I fantasize a future which has no basis in the of anything and hope for it to really materialize.
Okay.
Yeah, to me, I will stop here. So every time I participate or I lead a visioning exercise, I always notify to people, don't confuse ambition and aspiration as a vision. That is your wish. Ambition and aspiration, when it is subject to the rigor of selecting certain parameters and use, like for example, where is the economy going? It cannot be a wish. Right? So if you set them up, then you are mindfully engaging with visioning.
Great.
But if you don't know what are the dots which you are seeking to connect to see the picture in the future, then you are fantasizing. As they say, wishes were horses, then beggars could ride them. So to me, that is a statement of an unmindful state of mind.
You are listening to a Business Podcast Network original. Podcasting is the fastest growing content marketing opportunity, which is untapped. We can help you craft your audio strategy and help leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that the smartphone penetration provides. It is easy, it is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to your targets like never before. write to us at bpn@bizcast.in. That is bpn@bizcast.in. Business Podcast Network. Podcasts end to end.
No, Ram, it was very delightful. I think it is the longest, I would say, podcast I have done so far. And I lost the sense of time, frankly speaking. And, there are many takeaways, so to speak, Ram. I mean, because you, as you mentioned in the beginning, that you would prefer to talk extempore and spontaneous manner, so to speak. Okay, and that's your natural quality. So, superb as usual, I would say, as usual, Ram. So, it brings us to the end of this session. Thanks for your time, Ram. I'm really, really, really thankful to you, Ram, for giving your time.
Sanjay, I need to thank you because 1 hour of this engagement is a learning engagement for me, because learning is also when somebody makes you think and asks you a question. Learning is not only. So you right now in this 1 hour acted as a coach for me to go to my inner resources and bring out what I can bring out and make me think. Great. So that's the entire podcast process itself is a appreciative inquiry process.
Thank you. Thanks, Ram. This is a new insight for me. Thanks, Ram. I mean, I can talk with you, hours together, and I know that you will keep enlightening me. It would be always delightful, so to speak. So thanks, Ram. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to my podcast, AI to AI, where we explore the significance of process excellence and people excellence in the age of artificial intelligence. If you like this episode, give us a thumbs up in your favorite podcast app and do subscribe to continue listening to upcoming episodes with industry experts. Feel free to connect with me through my website at www.sn10x.in and on LinkedIn, where you can find me under the tagline Molding Metal to Molding Minds.